No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show brought to you by Betway. With Dave Manuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss yet another victory by the Winnipeg Jets. This one by a more than convincing 5-0 margin over the defending Stanley Cup champions. Gentlemen, things are going very well for the Winnipeg Jets. And tonight, Dave M., was just yet another game emblematic of the success and the belief that continues to percolate in that dressing room, translating into on-ice success. Good to see you both on this. What is this? This is a Tuesday evening. Nice to see you both for this post-game show.
Yeah, I mean, it was time to plan the parade. You beat the defending Cup Stanley Cup champions. I'm fairly certain that's what you do after. And, you know, it looked like it was going to be an inauspicious start with the with Zamboni gate almost derailing things. But eventually they got the Zamboni that had broken down removed. And the game got underway, and it was a good thing for the Jets because they played a pretty good hockey game against a pretty good Avs team, obviously missing some players. But, hey, the Jets are missing some players as well.
Finally answering, as the long sought-after question, how do you tow a Zamboni off the ice when it breaks down? Finally, one of those mysteries of life is answered with the pregame mishap with the Zamboni. Did we get any sort of information about the Zamboni? Is it on IR now? Is it on LTIR? Do the Jets get salary cap relief from the Zamboni instance? You know, inquiring minds want to know about the Zamboni.
Unfortunately,
go ahead, Ez.
No, go ahead, Dave.
No, all I was going to say as quickly is that I said nothing is lonelier than the one guy sitting on a Zamboni by himself minutes away from an NHL game trying to get underway, and he's sitting there begging for his – and everybody's – and the ice crew are all watching him, and everybody's waiting for someone to, like, hook it up. And I'm thinking, we're in downtown Winnipeg. Things get towed out of here in, like, 2 seconds. It shouldn't be a problem. Sure enough, they came and they towed it away.
Well, important that the game, you know, there was those weird pauses in between the start of the game, obviously, with the Zamboni. And then, of course, there was a fight in the stands, and that's what caused the delay between the second and the third periods beginning. I'm sure that everyone who was watching on TV saw that sort of awkward pause after they came back, and when it looked like they were ready to go, there was a fight in the stands. And you know, you can find the video of the fight on Reddit if you really want to look for it, but it's not a pretty scene. So we hope that the person who got injured is doing okay, and we hope that the drunk people who caused it, and they were Avalanche fans, that we hope that they get their just desserts, and the long arm of the law will deal with them. But there was a hockey game to discuss, more than Zambonis and more than fights, Ezra. And the Winnipeg Jets, you know, they came off, you know, it was last Wednesday, they had that disaster in Minnesota, and then they played the two very good games on the road, the win in Dallas, controversial as it was, the dominant performance against the Chicago Blackhawks. And I think everybody said after that Chicago game, yeah, but that, you know, but that's against the Blackhawks. What are you going to do when you move up in weight class? And I know it's not a Colorado Avalanche team at full strength. Well, counterpoint, it's not a Winnipeg Jets team at full strength either. So anyway you cut it, a 5-0 victory on home ice is an impressive performance by the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, there's no doubt that it was an impressive victory tonight. I missed the early part of the game, so I didn't see what happened with the Zamboni, so I literally have no idea what you guys are talking about, but I guess I'll have to go, I don't know, read about it or something.
It's on Dave did a great job live tweeting the breakdown minute by minute, second by second, riveting action about that Zamboni. Who is going to save the Zamboni? Who's going to rescue the Zamboni? Dave was there to chronicle it all for
only
for
the important news generation.
Yeah, exactly. Only the most important news on our Twitter feeds. But on the on-ice performance tonight, Ezzy, I mean, you know, it's 5-0. And you're playing against the defending Stanley Cup champions. And, you know, you know, some might say, well, yes, you know, whatever, you know, the score flatters the Jets. Connor Hellebuck had to be great, whatever you might say. And I'm not the one saying that. I'm just saying that 5-0 is 5-0. And, you know, you can't sneeze at a performance like that, no matter what other circumstances were going on.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised, to be honest with you, with the result from tonight's game, because not that I'm surprised that the Jets won, just the fashion that they won. And, you know, going into this game, the Avalanche were a couple of points behind. So you knew that, you know, the Avalanche wanted to, you know, even themselves up with the Jets. And, you know, we talked about the injuries, but, you know, as of late, you know, they've just had more injuries. Evan Rodriguez is the most recent one to go down. Mm-hmm. He was one of their big offseason acquisitions. But aside from Gabe Landeskog, you've got Bo Byram out of the lineup. You've got some others too. Who am I forgetting about? I know Darren Helm is out of the lineup right now. They've got six or seven injuries.
Valerie Nichushkin is out of the lineup.
Nichushkin is the other one. Thanks, Drew. Yeah. That's the other one. And he was off to a good start, point per game pace. And he obviously had his breakout year last year. But look, there's a lot of things to talk about in this game. I think we have to talk about, you know, the Blake Wheeler hat trick. We can start off with that if you guys want. But, you know, that line was incredible. Cole Perfetti, mm-hmm. I would probably say that was his best game in the NHL thus far. Just beautiful passing. That line has so much chemistry going for it right now. And, you know, they didn't really have to rely on the third and fourth lines like they did against Chicago. And yeah, Hellebuck made 40 saves. It wasn't one of those kind of classic, like, you know, I made five or six incredible saves that we've come to expect from Hellebuck, but he was really solid. Stopped MacKinnon and Rantanen and in tight, made a really good save on Arturi Lehkonen in the first period. But I think, you know, you can't understate the Jets going up against the defending Stanley Cup champions, regardless of how many injuries they had, and they took it to them, not necessarily in the first period. The first period was a little bit weird. They only had four or five shots on net, but they were really solid. I thought the penalty kill early in the second, if you guys remember, Neil Pionk took that, I think it was a hooking penalty, and yeah, that was a big kill because at that point, the Jets were only up 2-0. And, you know, the Avalanche score on the power play, we know they have the best power play in the league. You know, the game changes completely. So just overall, really impressive game from the Scheifele line. And, you know, just impressive what they did against what I still think is the best team in the league.
Yeah, you mentioned the penalty situation and or the Avs power play, and of course, number one in the league, as you mentioned, as in the Jets power penalty kill, we know is top 10 in the league. But Dave, I thought the, you know, as he touched on it, that situation where the Jets had that 2-0 lead and then Pionk takes that penalty, you know, that to me is the TSN turning point, because if Colorado scores there, then it's a 2-1 game, and then obviously it's anybody's game at that point in time. Instead, the Jets have a tremendous penalty kill, which they followed up not that many minutes later, about 7 minutes later, with another tremendous penalty kill, still while it was, I guess it was 3-0 just at this point in time, when Morrissey was in the box for cross-checking. Mm-hmm. You know, two huge penalty kills by the Jets when the game was still very much not, you know, over. You know, if Colorado scores on either of those situations, well, then it's either a 2-1 game or a 3-1 game, depending on which penalty you're talking about. But the Jets' penalty kill just was connected. And not, you know, not to use the Kevin Sawyerism, but that's what he referred to on the broadcast. And, it was an accurate statement. It was an apt word that it was connected, and it was really effective at you know, preventing those grade A chances by the number one power play in the league. And so you can talk about everybody on the Avs got a frog in my throat for a second here.
All right, Drew, we've heard enough from you. Anyways, firstly,
talk about how important those penalty kills are, Dave.
Well, first of all, I'm going to wish Comet a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Comet. Thank you that you're spending part of your birthday with the Illegal Curve Crew. So we're on behalf of Ezzy and Drew and I, we're wishing you a happy birthday. Hope it's been a great one. Hope you enjoyed that Jets win. And look, I think there's no question about it. The penalty, as he said, that's the best penalty kill in the NHL. And, you know, they didn't get there by accident. And I thought the Jets played a much more aggressive penalty kill, and they really didn't allow Colorado to set up. And, you know, we were able to see the benefit of that, because as he's right, I mean, if it's 2-0 game and you give up a goal, and there's a good point as well for earlier in the chat, and I highlighted it, was, you know, the goal being disallowed, and the Jets, you know, think about it, goal was disallowed, Jets hit the post, and then Morrissey scored to make it 2-0. And we'll get into that with the Betway game recap. But yeah, I mean, there's no question about it that when your penalty kill is playing well, and part of that, I think, is You know, David Gustafson, him being back in, you know, Rick Bowness talked about how important getting Gustafson back in the lineup was for the penalty kill. So, and we're seeing the benefit of that. I jokingly said the Moose would happily have him back to get him back on the PK because he really is. That's one of the things that he's excelled at and he takes a lot of pride in, and we see it from him today.
Yeah, look, this was a complete effort by the Winnipeg Jets, and Connor Hellebuyck obviously gets his third shutout of the season. I think that's 3 shutouts in 10 home games, so I'm pretty sure that's a pretty good ratio. If you're getting shutouts at 30% of your home games, you're going to pretty much have a good year on home ice almost by default there. Look, top to bottom, this has just got to be one of those games where you feel really good in the dressing room. And the players have to continue just to believe in what they have been doing, you know, because everyone's sort of been waiting for this other shoe to drop. I mean, I myself, admittedly, you know, after the game against Chicago and people were, you know, rearranging the standings based on points percentage, and that's a fun thing to do. And look, the Jets were way up there. I think they were at 5th or 6th in the league in points percentage after Sunday's game. And I tweeted it out. I said, look, this is great. This is impressive. But the thing that, you know, jumps out at me is still that regulation wins column, because that's usually an indicator of how good a team is. And the regulation wins was the lowest among all the sort of among all the playoff teams as of Sunday. Well, this was a regulation win that the team needed. This was a dominant one-sided regulation win to go with the dominant one-sided regulation win that they had on Sunday against a weaker Chicago Blackhawks team. So if you're doing it against the weak teams and you're doing it against the strong teams, well, I guess that might make you a pretty damn good hockey team. And, you know, if you've been skeptical about this Jets team so far, and you can probably count me in that crowd, your skepticism probably should begin to fall off to the side a little bit, because I think I saw a tweet yesterday that if the Jets play 500 from here on out, and there's no indication that they're only going to be a 500 team, Ezzy, but that if they play 500 from here on out, that's 100-point pace, and that's a playoff team come the end of the regular season.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that the Jets are going to be a playoff team, right? Like, I would kind of forget about that type of math and not focus too much on where the Jets are in the standings right now, right, guys? You guys know I'm a Devils fan. I think the Devils are, what are they, 19-4 or 18-3, something like that. Like, you'd look at that record and you'd say, oh, the Devils are going to win the Stanley Cup this year. Well, it's still a very long season. The season might be a quarter over. All I'm saying is that I don't think, regardless of if you're a Jets fan or a Devils fan or an Avalanche fan, I think you need to remember there's a lot of hockey to be played and teams are going to get healthier. We talked about the Jets are dealing with, you know, still dealing with injuries to Ehlers and Appleton, right? But I mean, regardless if you're a skeptic, the Jets are playing really well right now. Like, this is a good team. And, you know, we could have a debate about, you know, whether this Jets team is going to go deep into the playoffs, but I just think it's kind of useless right now. You're at game 21 or, you know, game 22 of the season, because there's way too much hockey to be played. And, you know, in terms of, you know, some of the wins that the Jets have racked up, yeah, you have some wins against Chicago and Arizona and some pretty bad teams, but they've also beaten the Avalanche twice, right? Like, so you got to give the Jets credit for, you know, the times that they beat the good teams and the times that they beat the bad teams that they should beat, right? Like, we've talked about, you know, Chicago. We talked about it on the Saturday show, right? Like, that's a team that you should beat 7-2. Obviously, yeah, you know, they didn't expect to necessarily put up 7 goals, but they should beat them handily, right? So tonight, I think, was another example of a game in which, even though the Jets weren't piling the shots on Georgiev, they were, you know, opportunistic, and 4 of the 5 goals were even strength. And we're going to get into the Wheeler goal to kick it all off, and it was a really nice goal. But I think you have to love the fact that, you know, the Jets went toe to toe with the Avalanche, and, you know, for the most part, limited the high danger chances. Like, the Avalanche got some chances, but this wasn't a game in which, you know, like, similar to the Vegas game, you know, where the Jets were lucky to get that point. Talking about the second game, obviously, Eichel scored the overtime winner, right? Hellebuyck had to be sensational. He just had to be really good tonight. And I'm not taking anything away from Hellebuyck. I think everyone would agree that, you know, even if he let in a couple goals, the Jets were still going to win this game. That's how they were playing, especially in the second and third period. So, yeah, it was really impressive. you know, you have to give credit to Josh Morrissey, who continues to roll along, and Dylan DeMello. I thought this was probably DeMello's best game of the year. Like, he was just, you could see how good his positioning was and active stick and all those cliches, right? But I thought defensively, you know, DeMello really stepped up. And Morrissey, we always expect him to be the Jets' best defenseman. But Dylan Sandberg is actually really good on the yeah. third pair. So just overall, I mean, this was a cliche team win. But when you beat the defending Stanley Cup champs 5-0, I mean, how can you not be celebrating afterwards?
You're absolutely right. So that's why people in this chat and people who are leaving the arena and everybody else is celebrating. The best way to celebrate, of course, is with the illegal curve post-game show and smashing the like button. So we thank all of you for joining us on this Tuesday night as we're talking about the Jets 5-0 victory over the Colorado Avalanche. Let's get into the goals. The Betway game recap is brought to you by Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. With a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Some quick breaking news from the CFL. League sources are reporting that Mike O'Shea has agreed to a contract extension with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So no real surprise there, but that is breaking news here as we do both illegal curve and illegal procedure rolled into one on this Tuesday night. So good news all around. Mike O'Shea, according to Farhan Lalji of TSN, reporting that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers head coach Mike O'Shea has signed a contract extension with the Bombers. Let's get into the goals. The Jets open the scoring at the 9:18 mark of the first period. Blake Wheeler, he put on a performance tonight. He gets his fifth of the season, his first of the night on the power play, assist to Josh Morrissey, because of course, and Pierre-Luc Dubois. This is just, you know, sort of, you know, Wheeler, when he uses his shot like this, is a weapon. You know, he doesn't have a good one-timer. That's not his strength, but he's coming off the sidewall. He's going to the top of the circles and maybe even a little bit lower, and he can snipe a corner like nobody else, and that's what he did here as he beating Alexander Georgiev to make it 1-0 for the Jets.
Yeah, you mentioned that he went low, and that's what I like, guys, the best about this power play goal is that Wheeler actually is like right on the goal line, and he passes it to Dubois behind the net, mm-hmm. and then he goes back, and Dubois passes it back to him. And then he gets it to Morrissey, who finds Wheeler. And what I like about it's just the movement, right? And there's been a lot made about, you know, the different power play configurations and everything like that. And yeah, Wheeler for a long time was a little bit stagnant there on the half wall with his cross seam passes, right? So mm-hmm. obviously Wheeler is not going to be your number one option to shoot. But I mean, this was perfect. And I thought the Avalanche just gave him a little bit too much time and space. But I just like how, you know, Dubois' movement behind the Avalanche net. You know, Wheeler moving in, you know, after kind of being around the top of the circle, pardon me, the blue line, and then coming to the top of the circle, right? So everything about this was just, it was very decisive, I thought. So a really nice goal from, as you mentioned, he's not necessarily the guy that you expect to score goals like that. It's usually Scheifele or Connor, but yeah, that was, they made quick work of that power play and just a mm-hmm. really nice execution by the Jets.
Yeah, it took all of 20 seconds, Dave M, to give the Jets the all-important 1-0 lead. So to keep those vibes going, keep those good vibes going from the game in Chicago on Sunday. And that's what you see here with the Wheeler goal. The Jets, you know, put a second puck in the net, I believe it was Mark Scheifele, ultimately disallowed. Your thoughts on the disallowing of the Jets, what was looked like the Jets' second goal, but wasn't the Jets' second goal, Dave? Did you think that should have counted, you know, given all the talk and controversy around goaltender interference as of late in these parts? You know, it seems to be, of course, the coin flip that you never know which way the NHL situation room is going to have it land.
Yeah, you know what, Drew? It's funny. My initial impression was that it was a terrible challenge by the Avs. I just didn't see, and again, I'm watching it in the building, so it's a little bit more difficult, and they're not showing it on the Jumbotron right away. So originally, it didn't look like Wheeler made contact. After the fact, some folks were saying maybe his skate touched with Georgiev. But I mean, to me, I thought he was outside the paint still, and I thought he was pushed from behind. So again, my initial thought was that, you know, the challenge wouldn't necessarily be honored, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was kind of an unusual one. And then I jokingly said, after they ruled the goalie interference. I said, well, if it's goalie interference, why aren't they calling it a penalty? I know that's not what they're doing, but yes. You know what I mean? Like if it was sufficient to say it, obviously after the fact, they're not going to give a penalty, but it's just, it's an unusual play because, you know, I personally, again, like I said, my initial thought was it wasn't in fact goalie interference. I thought Wheeler was on the outside and I thought he was pushed from behind, but you know, they saw it the way they saw it. And look, it could have been a very deflating time of the game, right? You know, you're up 1-0, mm-hmm. you get a goal. Now you're feeling good about yourself. And all of a sudden it's wiped out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And who cares? They scored right after and won the game 5-0, right? So yeah. Like the goalie interference call, it was a little bit weak, but yeah. Again, who cares? They scored right after and won 5-0.
Well, it certainly didn't end up ultimately affecting the result of the game, if that's your point. And you're 100% right about that. 1-0 for the
that
Jets
was my
after
point.
20. Yeah, 1-0 for the Jets after 20 minutes. Shots on goal 9-4 for Colorado. So, you know, they still, you know, controlled a lot of the flow of the game. And you would say, you know, if you look at the advanced stats, you can see that Colorado did.
Nobody looks at advanced stats anymore, Drew. That's so 2019.
Sorry,
nerd. It's hard for me to keep track.
Nerd, I know.
Advanced stats are only for nerds.
Okay, well, call me a nerd. You know, you're saying that, of course, tongue in cheek.
We're all nerds.
You know, that's what you get by having a great goaltender in Connor Hellebuck. And Connor Hellebuck badly outplayed Alexander Georgiev in tonight's game.
Who, by the way, had the second best save percentage in the league. If you haven't been paying attention to the Avalanche, Georgiev has been very good.
Right, and tonight Hellebuck was his better, and the Jets, of course, don't need to apologize for that because nope. You know the Avalanche think that they have themselves a pretty good goalie, and he had an off night, or the Jets were just able to take advantage of him, whereas the Avalanche weren't able to take advantage of the Jets. Jets make it 2-0, 3:46 into the second period. Josh Morrissey, of course, it's Josh Morrissey. I mean, it's getting to be almost a little comical at this point in time. It's like, you know, you can count on him for a point or 2 points a game as of late. And that's what he got tonight. Again, a goal and assist for Josh Morrissey. This one's his fifth of the year. Assist to Dylan DeMello, who continues to be on an incredible point streak for a guy who really doesn't get any points. I think this is three straight games now? Yeah, three straight games with points for
DeMello. Gives some assist to Nate Schmidt. Like, geez.
It's true. He's stealing all of Nate Schmidt's thunder. Cole Perfetti gets the other assist on it. And Morrissey with a good shot, traffic in front. And, you know, it's not necessarily fancy, but it's effective because the shot gets through and there's, you know, bodies that Georgiev's trying to find it through and he's unable to. And everything Morrissey touches right now is turning to gold as 2-0 for the Jets at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is Perfetti's first assist of the game. And you mentioned, you know, it's a bit of traffic in front of the net. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you just like the fact that, you know, the Jets responded. We talked about the disallowed goal. That's what I like the most about this. It was very shortly after, forget exactly, felt like it was a couple minutes. But yeah, I mean, I think what we've seen this year, in addition to the Jets playing much better defensively, is, I mean, the defense is getting much more active in the offense, and Morrissey, who likes to shoot the puck, you know, he just seems to have it right now. I agree with you, Drew. Like, you know, I think, you know, putting up 45, 50 points would be expected out of Morrissey at this point in his career. He might get closer to those Roman Josi numbers. Like, no joke. He might be 85, 90. If he keeps up this pace, again, we're only at game 21 here. But there's no reason to expect Morrissey to slow down. Like, if somebody has a reason why they think he's going to slow down, then let us know. But, I mean, he's doing this on a nightly basis. Like, you know, he might have had an off night like the rest of the Jets did in St. Paul. But I like this, too. I like Morrissey. Perfetti, you know, gets on the puck. And that's what I thought this line was really good at. We talk about that a lot, you know, the forechecking and everything like that. But this was just an aggressive, like, good, solid zone entry, but quick. The Jets were quick out of their own zone. Mm-hmm. And I thought on this play, it was just bang, bang, get it back to the point, get some traffic. And, you know, Georgiev probably didn't see it very well.
Yeah, the Jets were quick in transition tonight, and you saw it especially on this third goal, which we'll touch on. This is Wheeler's second goal of the game, his sixth of the season, and it's the quickness in transition for the Jets. It's the quickness through the neutral zone, and, I mean, the pass from Cole Perfetti here. So it's Blake Wheeler, his sixth assist to Cole Perfetti and Mark Scheifele, and Scheifele carries the puck up the ice, and then he just enters the Avalanche zone, and he just jams on the brakes. He just absolutely snowplows it. feeds it over to Perfetti with a beautiful pass, and then Perfetti with his soft hands and his vision and his smarts finds Blake Wheeler, who makes it 3-0 for the Jets, Dave. And you see afterwards, I'm not sure if you've seen it on the replay because you were in the rink, but you see it on the TV replay. As soon as Wheeler scores, he celebrates, and then he just starts shaking his head like, damn, this kid is talented. You can sort of see the thought bubble that's over Wheeler's head as he's shaking his head. Not shaking his head because he's upset, just sort of shaking his head in disbelief that Cole Perfetti's 20 years old, and this is the kind of thing that he's able to do on the ice. And boy, does this line for the Jets, the Shifley Perfetti Wheeler line, look like just an absolute dynamo right now, Dave.
Yeah, they do. And you know, we were talking about it, I think, either on the Saturday show or on the Sunday show, talking about the idea how Cole Perfetti really does mesh well with them because it's a cerebral line. And he, you know, he's a similar player to Mark Scheifele. The fact that he can facilitate and he has a good shot. And guys, what was crazy is through 40 minutes of play, Cole Perfetti had 5 of the 14 shots the Jets took. I mean, he was in tight. He had a couple of chances in the first period, but that was such a high-end play that he set up Blake Wheeler. I mean, it was funny because you could just see it. And I mean, you, knowing the way he is, you knew he was making that pass. You know, everybody knew except for Avs netminder. You know what I mean? Like everyone knew that Cole Perfetti, and he's got a good shot. So you have to, you know, I don't blame Gorgiev because he's got to play the shooter and he's got to play it. But I mean, there was no question that he's making that. I mean, it was very similar to the assist Blake Wheeler had to Mark Scheifele against the Hawks, where Wheeler is looking, but you know, he knows that Scheifele's there and he looks and he no look passes it to Scheifele. Very similar. Cole Perfetti, excellent use of time and space. And created that opportunity with his vision to get it over to Blake Wheeler. And again, shout out to Colby Perfetti, Colby Spence, our illegal career
he's photographer. The Cole Perfetti of photographers, Dave.
He is the Cole Perfetti of photographers. That's right, Ezzy.
Creative vision.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, and that vision was on display if you check out our illegal curve Instagram, because Colby took a nice sequence of the shot of that goal, which is on our illegal curve Instagram. So go check that out. Smash that like on that. Smash a like on this because, you know, we love likes. But phenomenal pass. And I think he really works well with Wheeler and Shifley. And I really like, I said this last show, I really like Kyle Connor with Pierre-Luc Dubois. And I like Morgan Barron up with those guys. So to me, that configuration, those top lines. And look, it's one game. You're not going to like do anything over, you know. But what did they combine for? 11 points tonight?
But it's been a few games now that we've seen Scheifele,
that's right,
and Perfetti.
I know, and I like. Don't you think they work well?
Four games now, absolutely. I mean, and the results speak for themselves. And yeah, you're right, Dave. I mean, they're not going to get 11 points every game. If they do, then that's going to be pretty cool. But another shout out here to Dylan DeMello, though. Like, beautiful pass by Perfetti, but DeMello takes Cale Makar out of the play. Makar, arguably the best. I think he is the best defenseman in the NHL. Makar, I didn't think, had a very good night. No, but DeMello takes him out of the play. And, you know, Sam Girard had a scoring chance. You just wanted to mention that because it was Wheeler who started the exit out of their zone. But Sam Girard had a shot, and Hellebuck made a nice stand-up save. And then you're right. Scheifele makes a nice pass to Perfetti, who then gets it over to Wheeler, but it's Dylan DeMello who goes to the net, and Makar has to worry about him. So I just thought the Avalanche were slow on the back check, but also, you know, a lot of credit to DeMello for making a nice play that he's not going to get an assist, but you watch the replay. You know, he does a lot there, which just, I think, creates a little bit of havoc in front of Georgiev, as Drew's calling him. I'm not sure what the correct pronunciation, but
he called me earlier and said Georgiev. So just, well, you know, he said some people call him Georgiev, but you know, I'm allowed to call him Georgiev. So that's our relationship.
Just aside, the reality is, like, you know, a lot of the non-North American names, let's call it that, you know, we think we're pronouncing them right sometimes, but oftentimes we're not. And I think, you know, I actually had to YouTube a video on how to pronounce Qatar, because some people say Qatar, but it's actually not. It's, you have to say it with the kind of an Arabic kind of, you know, I guess the Q letter or what, anything. Regardless, I think we're all saying Qatar wrong, but that's a bit of a tangent. But Georgiev, I think, was distracted there by what was happening at the battle in front with DeMello and Makar. But yeah, we got to give Perfetti a lot of credit here. I mean, Dave M watched him more than anybody. I think he was the only actually media that was watching him that year. The Moose were playing at the Iceplex, but Perfetti is shining right now, guys. Like, I think we're starting, we've seen the skill on display, but now we're starting to see the results on the scoreboard.
You are, and you see him building the with confidence, and it's happened really. You know, I think it was Saturday show we were talking. I was talking about sort of when that switch is going to flip, and I didn't expect that it was going to start to flip. This week as quickly as it seems to have, because there was no sign. He was, before he broke the schneid he'd been on. I guess it was in the Dallas game, which was his first goal in 9 games. Before that, he looked like he was struggling. He looked like the game was maybe a little too fast, or everything about it was just, he wasn't quite at that NHL level yet. Even though he was clearly an NHL talent, it just sort of, sometimes the game needs to slow down for you when you're a young player. Well, the last few games, it's definitely slowed down for Cole Perfetti. And with his exquisite vision, as his exquisite skill set, you can see how dangerous he's going to be. And, Mark Scheifele's still a world-class player. And Blake Wheeler, he's not, doesn't have the same speed he once have, isn't as dominant as he once was, but he's still a pretty damn good player. And you give him the puck in golden opportunities, he's gonna make some good things happen for your team. And that's how it was, 3-0 for the Winnipeg Jets after 40 minutes. So you're wondering, or at least I was, what's going to happen to start the third? Does Colorado
usually you are in hockey games?
Yeah, usually.
That's, or sports in general, again, you're curious what's going to happen.
Curious what's going to happen.
That's what I think we watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Am I going to have a box of popcorn, or am I going to have some licorice?
Yeah.
Is Colorado
maybe some push Skittles, back? Maybe some jujubes? You never know.
Maybe all these things. Is Colorado going to push back? How are the Jets going to respond to the push? All of those questions is what I was pondering during the second intermission, especially the one about how are the Jets going to play this third? Is there going to, because I was expecting a push from Colorado. There was not a push. There was no push whatsoever, which I'm shocked about, because you're the defending Stanley Cup champions. You've been beaten pretty thoroughly through 40 minutes. Are you, I sort of thought that, yes, we've been punched in the nose. How are they going to respond? Well, they didn't. And they certainly didn't, because the Jets made it 4-0 a minute 22 into that third period. Mark Scheifele with his 12th of the season, assist to Kyle Connor and Blake Wheeler. That is Wheeler's first assist on the night. He ended up, of course, with a 4-point night. And just a beautiful play all around, sort of old school. Wheeler, Connor, Scheifele reuniting for a scoring opportunity. And what a pass from Connor to Scheifele, and Scheifele makes no mistake, because he's not going to make a mistake in that situation. No. You give up that kind of scoring chance to these guys, for the most part, this isn't the Jets, third or fourth line beating you. This is the Jets' top guns being better than Colorado's top guns tonight, Ezzy.
Yeah, and you like how that there was a turnover in the jet zone, and you love the fact, and I just thought, again, the Avalanche to me, just they in no particular period did I think that they were going to take over the game. Like, the first period, the pace was clearly, the possession numbers heavily favor the Avalanche, but how many of those were high danger chances? Like, not many. And in this particular play, I think it was McKinnon who turned the puck over. I'd have to go look at the replay. But just a really nice passing play. And you have to love the fact that, like, you talk about the pushback, Drew. And, the Avalanche, I think, were defeated. We talked about it, after the Jets went up 3-0. That, to me, was kind of the killer goal. On this play, you just love the fact that, Kyle Connor, you thought he might shoot, but makes a beautiful pass. We've talked about his underrated passing, Dave, before. But yeah, you love the fact that the Jets, they took advantage of their opportunities. We talked about it earlier, but you love the fact that throughout the game, they didn't sit back on the lead. They played the same way throughout. And that's what you want to see from a team. You don't want to see, in certain games, if it's a back and forth, high scoring game, you're going to see teams adapt and change their style a little bit. But I thought the Jets, for the most part, were very consistent in how they played. And, just awesome for Blake Wheeler to score a hat trick, because of everything that happened with being stripped of the C and everything like that. His play on the ice has done the talking. He has been really good for the Jets, and he's leading by example, whether or not there's a C on his sweater or not.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, Ezzy. This was, I especially like your point, Dave, that Ezzy made about the Jets game looking consistent.
Point about that Ezzy made?
No. I just thought, Drew, I'd throw out the word consistent, because I think in hockey, like, you know, us, you know, on the show and hockey fans, we don't really hear that word consistent very often. Like, coaches don't use it. Players don't use it. So I just thought I'd introduce that new English word.
It's a new concept. I've never heard it before referred to in the game of hockey or anything. But, you know, that is important for the Jets to show that you can play the same style of game for the entirety of the 60 minutes. Were they going to collapse into a defensive shell? Well, they didn't in the third period. You know, they weren't fire wagoning it, because that would be crazy, but they were certainly aggressive when they called to be aggressive. Their sticks were very good in the defensive zone, very effective at knocking some of the pucks off Colorado stick and preventing them from having any really overwhelming opportunities, except for late in the game when it was already, you know, when it was 5-0 and Connor Hellebuck made a couple really big saves to preserve the shutout.
Especially in the later stages of the game, I thought that there was a lot of individual kind of trying to do it yourself from Colorado. Like, what, and Nathan MacKinnon, don't get me wrong, he's one of the best at creating space and creating his own opportunities, right? But, you know, whether that was Mikko Rantanen, whether that was Arturi Lehkonen, the other guys on that line, like, I just thought there was a lot of that. Like, and that's a credit to, I think, how the Jets played defensively. And I think, you know, it's surprising. It's definitely surprising to me. I can't speak for other people. I thought the Jets would be better under Rick Bowness, no doubt. But this is like night and day, guys. It really is.
Look at what's happening in Florida.
Well, you know, it really is that, you know, that True North didn't read their room right. You know, last year it was clear they didn't read their room right, and that's, you know, on Kevin Cheveldayoff to and everybody else. But they read it right this year. They made the right hire. I don't know that Barry Trotz would be getting these results with this group. I really don't. It seems like Rick Bowness, for whatever reason, has, you know, has found the right tone, the right attitude, the right style with this team. And obviously it's translating on the ice with, as emblematic by tonight's 5-0 victory, the hat trick goal for Blake Wheeler, his seventh, his fourth point of the night, comes at 16:09. Cole Perfetti and Mark Scheifele pick up the assists, a 10-point night for that line, 3 assists for Perfetti, a goal and 2 assists for Scheifele, 3 goals and an assist for Blake Wheeler, a 10-point night for that line. And, you know, Wheeler, you know, after being saluted earlier in the game by the crowd for breaking the record of most games played in a Thrashers Jets uniform, then he gets it tonight. It's really got to be a nice feeling for him, to get that ovation and then get a hat trick and a 4-point night back on home ice to give the Jets the 5-0 victory. Dave,
toss the hats, throw those hats on the ice, because unlike the Jason Robertson hat trick, which wasn't a hat trick, this was actually.
I still think that was so weird, Dave.
I agree with you. As it was
so weird. I don't even know if I've ever seen that before.
No, I mean, it's one thing if, like, yeah, it was just bizarre. It was like they were in mourning for his hat trick that he should have had, but it wasn't a hat trick because 2 of the goals shouldn't have counted. So really, he should have only had 1 goal. Not that we're going to malign Jason Robertson because he's got 19 goals and he's going to score 200 this season.
They're going to have plenty of opportunities in Dallas to throw hats on the ice for Jason Robertson's legitimate hat trick. So you're right. That still was weird.
Did anybody else find it funny that Robertson was the first star of the week and Morrissey was number 2?
Yes.
Considering they were involved in that. Like, there was a lot of things in that Dallas game that just were off.
Yes. But anyways, it was big. It was big for Blake Wheeler. And, you know, the funniest part was, you know, you talk about Makar, he basically scored the goal for Wheeler because he put it into his own net. And you could just see it from the smile on Blake Wheeler's face. And again, I'm going to give a shout out to Colby Perfetti / Spence, our photographer, because he got a great picture.
That Colby Perfetti nickname, Dave. That might
it's a good one.
Shelf life.
We'll see. I'll run it by Colby on Friday against Columbus Blue Jackets. But he took a great photo of Blake Wheeler up against the boards with the Jets, you know, coming to celebrate the goal. And you can just see, you know, this grin from ear to ear on Blake Wheeler. And, you know, we've talked about it. No player has benefited from that C being ripped off his jersey more than Blake Wheeler. I mean, we don't know because I can't say that for a fact because don't pay attention to the San Jose Sharks when they did that there. And I don't pay attention to what has happened in other environments, but really Wheeler could have been could have been pissy, could have been, you know, morose, mm-hmm. but instead he chose to embrace the team, say, look, I'm still going to be a leader, and continue to, you know, the team still respects him, and he still respects them. And look what he's doing. He's producing, and he's not the player he was a few years ago, but he's adaptable, and he's producing. And that was kind of vintage Blake Wheeler. I saw it in the chat earlier, right? It was like kind of 2018 Blake Wheeler, and you're not going to get that every night. But the point is, you wanted to see the Jets step up. This is the defending Stanley Cup champions coming into Winnipeg. The Jets, I don't want to say they felt disrespected, but again, our friends at Betway, if you look at the pregame report, the odds favored Colorado. Even though the Jets have a very impressive home record, they don't really lose at home, at least, you know, so that's, I mean, they've got that in their favor. Colorado is a good road team. They're a good team, as Ezzy would say, period. But the fact is that the Jets, you know, knew that this was going to be a test. I don't care what anybody says. Look, Ezzy's 100% right. This is game 21. You are not planning parades after game 21. You know, there's a reason why
you But you also have to give, like, the Jets are a good team this year. Like, yes. Their record, it's like, it's not, we're not, you know, 6 or 7 games into the season here. We're 21 games into the
Which
season.
Which, Ezzy, if you remember.
Drew mentioned it. The Jets can go 500 and still make the playoffs. Like, they're on pace for, Ezzy, I think, just over 100 points. So, believe it, guys. Like, again, we're not planning the parade. We're, if anything, you know, we're, you know, the type of people that, you know, we pump the brakes a little bit, but they're 8-2 at home. Like, well, you got to give this team credit here. Like, they're playing really well, and they've beaten some really good teams. The Avalanche twice.
And what the Stars twice. All I was going to say is, what did we talk about early in the season when the Jets were having a, you know, a moderate level of success? And we're like, okay, well, guys, you know, we really need to see what this team looks like 15 to 20 games into the season.
Yeah.
Well, as Ezzy just said, this is now 21 games in the season. The Jets are 14-6-1.
Yeah.
They are, you know, in the playoff spot. And again, we're not going to start looking at the standings yet per se, but the fact of the matter is
they're comfortably in. Yeah.
Are comfortable. They're a good hockey team. They're playing, you know, and again, you played the defending Stanley Cup champions and you shut them out. And that is not something that a lot of teams can say they've done against. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't want to hear about that injuries, because the Jets have injuries too. I mean, sorry, they've had 2 games of Nikolaj Ehlers out of 21. Nikolaj Ehlers was supposed to be the first line right winger this year, taking over for Blake Wheeler. Nikolaj Ehlers was the guy we all anticipated would be potentially a 40 or 50 goal scorer for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, Nikolaj Ehlers has 3 assists in 2 games for the Winnipeg Jets. So the fact is, the Jets have been able to get, and if you look, it's interesting, you know, before the games they show, oh, here's the top 10 scores, here's the top 10 in assists. The Jets don't have that. I mean, I didn't look at how tonight's tallies, they may have impacted that a little bit. But the fact is, the Jets are collectively doing this. And how do you win cups? You win the cups by having a good, balanced team. Because if one, you know, Ez, what did we talk about? In Chicago, you got the 3rd and 4th lines contributing. And we said, oh, well, that's great, because that's what you need. And then on a night like tonight, you know, you've got the best, one of the best teams in the NHL still coming into to Winnipeg, and you hand them a 5-0 loss. It is nothing to, you know, sneeze at, if you will. And it was a significant win on a big night here in Winnipeg.
That it was. Dave M. can't say it much better than that. So why don't we go to break? When we come back, more on tonight's Jets Avalanche game. We'll read some of the comments that were uttered post game. We'll look at ahead to Friday night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Much more to come, including, of course, the unique code word of the day and the tough duck hardest hitting comment. Don't go anywhere. It's a Tuesday night. It's the Illegal Curve post game show. It's going to roll on after these commercial messages.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Dave, my man, why are you in the car already? It's hours until game time.
Drew, it's because I'm stressed out right now, driving around downtown Winnipeg, looking for a parking spot, and I'm not finding one. I've lost Ginsburg. I don't even know where that guy is right now.
Dave, haven't I taught you anything? Do what I do. Pre-book your entire month's worth of game day parking with the Grid Park app. It's super easy to use and saves me both time and stress.
Well, Drew, I'm not independently wealthy like you are. So I'm sorry that I don't have millions of dollars to pre-book my parking month in advance. What's that going to cost you? $25?
How about $5?
Come on, $5? No yep. way.
$5. I'm not telling you a lie. And our listeners can get a free park with the new special promo code, Illegal Curve. Guess what? There's more.
Come on, there's more, Drew. You're lying to me. What more could there be?
Grid Park now has underground parking, so my car can stay warm during the game.
So wait a second. All the driving around I do, looking for parking, minus 40, you're telling me I could be toasty warm in a car after the hockey game?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. Underground parking. Just download the Grid Park app. That's G-R-Y-D Park. And use the code Illegal Curve. All one word, you'll park for free your first time.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show presented by Betway. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. Winnipeg Jets 5-0 victors over the Colorado Avalanche in the proverbial 4-point game. With the win, the Jets move 4 points up on the Avs. The Avs with a game in hand. The Jets a point behind the Dallas Stars for top spot in the Central Division with 2 games in hand. Schedule gets easier for the Jets after tonight's step up in weight class, where the Jets prove themselves well. Next 2 games, Friday and Sunday, against Columbus and Anaheim, respectively. Both of those two
couple
teams
of powerhouses right there.
32nd and 31st overall in the NHL, the Jets' next two opponents are. So the Jets look to do to the Blue Jackets on Friday and, of course, the Ducks on Sunday what they have done to the Blackhawks and the Avalanche over the last couple of nights. A lot of praise from Jets head coach Rick Bowness about Blake Wheeler. Obviously, Wheeler, 3 goals and an assist tonight, so he is worthy of praise. According to John Liu, Rick Bowness says Wheeler is doing a great deal behind the scenes, encouraging and mentoring his teammates, especially young players. Bowness commends Wheeler for exercising leadership after the change in captaincy. We talked about it. He could have pouted. He could have demanded a trade after there was talk that he was going to be dealt in the offseason. Instead, he's hooked himself up to the rejuvenation machine, and he's certainly leading in the dressing room, leading on the ice with his performance tonight, and great to see for everybody involved, including the Winnipeg Jets, of course.
Gentlemen, it's called Blake Wheeler Benjamin Button.
Because he's aging in reverse? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Have you seen that movie, Drew?
You know,
I feel like that's a Drew type of movie.
No, definitely not. I mean, I know the premise of the movie. I think I'm trying to think if I've seen it. If I did, I don't remember it. I know the premise of it.
I haven't seen the movie either. I just know that he reverse ages.
Exactly. I know. I think I know enough about
it. Maybe we can watch it together one night.
I don't think so, but I haven't seen Titanic either. I know what happens. They hit the ice. I mean,
I've not seen that movie, and every time I see that, people are like, "What? You haven't seen Titanic?"
Well, I've never seen
it. I know what happens in Titanic. Why do I have to watch it? Because there's some racy love scenes between DiCaprio and
Kate Winslet.
I couldn't remember her name.
Yeah, Kate Winslet. Dave M definitely took a date to Titanic.
Oh yeah. Dave.
I can see that.
Dave went to Titanic like three times. Once at the drive-in.
Couple of popcorn trips.
Maybe three different girls. Maybe Dave M, player that he is.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, you gotta do. It's hard. It's hard having Dave M's social calendar. That much we know for sure. There was no Jets back then.
Dave M is never single. Let's just put it that way.
But he's always looking to mingle. I don't know what's up with all that. But in any event, Dave M, yes, the hero to us all when it comes to the movie Titanic. Apparently, as we go down the rabbit hole, like we only can on this.
Isn't Titanic like 3.5 hours too? Like it's a really long movie. I cap my movies. Whenever I'm looking at movies on Netflix, if it's over 2 hours, I don't watch it.
Well, I mean, you're probably falling asleep at what, the hour 35 mark?
Let's be realistic. The only movie I watch on Netflix is That's My Boy, which I've seen at least 2,000 times at this point.
Well, yeah, you'll have to cancel. You'll cancel your subscription if they ever take that off, Dave, because that is your favorite movie.
I don't even need to watch it anymore. I pretty much know every line.
Okay, well, there you go. That works as well. I mean, I'm sure that people will enjoy listening to you recite. Do you have that poster? Remember those folks made that movie poster of us?
I got it on my phone.
I know you do. I was going back a few years. They superimposed our faces on the movie poster for That's My Boy, and they sent it to us.
That picture?
You can't really see it very well on the screen, but yes, that picture.
That picture?
Yeah, you can't really tell.
I don't know how I just randomly found it.
I was going to say,
Dave, it's in my favorites.
Quickly, that was like in my favorite 10 seconds that you pulled that up.
I love the movie so much, I put it in my favorites.
There you go. That's why.
Well, maybe if I go back a little bit farther, it'll work. Hold on. Let's see.
It's okay. You can.
No, Frosty Winnipeg wants it.
Okay. That's not helping at all. No matter how close or how far you put it, they're not going to be able to see it. But it's something you can.
I'll tweet it.
Why don't you upload it to the StreamYard site?
Can I do that?
Yeah, you can do that for next show, and we can.
I'll do it right now
on screen.
Okay, I got nothing better to do. I'll do it right now.
There you go. Something for you to do. Well, the Jets improved to 14-6-1, 29 points in 21 games played so far this season. Ezzy, you got a tough duck, hardest hitting comment for us? Do you not?
Yeah, I do. Lots of good comments, as usual. We appreciate all of those comments. We have lots of people watching. A lot of people are fired up. Tuesday night, Jets beat the defending cup champs 5-0. You got Columbus coming in Friday night, even though Patrick Laine won't be playing. Everyone's going to be excited about that one. And then you got a game Sunday afternoon, so it should be a nice little weekend. We're going to give it to Bart Omond. Reminded me of Omond's Creek, if you guys are familiar with Omond's Creek off of Wellington Crescent there. I'm not sure if there's a relation there, but his comment is, you've got it up. JMO has really turned his game up just as good, if not better, on the defensive side of the puck. But man, oh man, is he ever sweet on the offensive side of things. The best D is a better O. You even saw that. We talked about that. I forget if it was the third goal or the fourth Jets goal when Dylan DeMello was crashing the net, taking Cale Makar out of the play. So you have to love what Josh Norrissey is doing right now. He's playing so well. He seems to get at least 1 point every game. He was incredible tonight. Love that comment. So Bart, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or you can slide into my DMs on Twitter @ICSEG and Tough Duck. Even though this is not a Tough Duck toque, it's a CCM Hockey Manitoba toque. Tough Duck will send out a toque to you directly. So just send me your mailing address with a phone number, and yeah, you'll get yourself a nice toque just in time for that great weather we're about to get.
Congratulations to Bart Omond, the winner of tonight's Tough Duck Hardest Hitting comment. Dave M., the Illegal Curve unique code word for the last one for the month of November. So let's remind everybody what's going to start, what's going to happen. So you got, you know, today, and then you got tomorrow, and then you have until Friday, where a whole new contest is going to begin, which means it's a whole new month of contests. All the previous entries for the month of November, they go to the wayside.
Thursday is December 1st, Drew.
I know, but I'm saying the next contest is...
I might actually start, for the record, I'll probably start the next contest after today. So like it'll kind of be in conjunction. So we'll start getting in your votes, but like I said,
leave it to the puppet master. Okay. Dave's running all the contests. Me and you are just here, passengers on the Dave bus.
I thought you were going to say that we're the eye candy in this operation, which I would have accepted that as well. But whatever it is, Dave is the brains and the brawn on this show. So the new month's worth of contest for the Illegal Curve merchandise contest will commence, and you'll have an opportunity to submit and redo all the things you've done for the month of November to garner your entries and to continue to keep building up your entries. You got to start fresh. That's what it happens. The month of November is done. The month of December is set to begin, and the unique code word for the first unique code for the Illegal Curve contest, the code word is shutout. All one word, shutout, because Connor Hellebuck had a shutout.
Did you guys just pick that word like in the last hour?
Well, I had a different word that Dave decided to scrap because apparently it wasn't good enough for Mr. I get to pick all the code words, even though most of my picks usually are average at best. But I had a better code word than this one, but it looks like Dave M. changed it up on me. But I'm able to pivot very quickly here. I'm a professional, so I'm able to
say that word's not very unique.
My word was much better. It was effective. I had a whole intro lined up to it. I had a whole, I was going to speak about it because outside the weather fit my code word and the Jets had scored a flurry of goals. But no, I'm Dave Manouk.
Was your unique code flurries or furries?
It was flurries.
Drew, where do I add the picture? I don't see it.
Where do you what?
Where do I upload the picture to StreamYard?
I think if you go to present, you can, you can upload it. I don't know exactly. Present. I'd have to look at it right now.
Guys, we're doing a show right now. This isn't a Zoom call.
Yeah, don't interrupt me while I'm mocking you, please. I'm in the midst of a good mockery of you, and you're interrupting me with the That's My Boy photo. So anyways, the unique code for the IC contest is shutout. I apologize on behalf of Dave's lack of creativity. Yeah, the word does suck. It's all one word. Put it into the gleam.io link. It's in the show description here on YouTube. Click the down arrow. You'll see the show description. You'll see the link right there. Click that. Enter the unique code of shutout.
Start calling it cliche code.
Well, yeah, that's
a good one, Izzy.
Yeah.
Good one.
Well, I mean, when Dave M picks it, I can think, I can evaluate, I can come up with
my favorite part about the unique code word, by the way, is that I get to mock the unique code word.
Regardless of who picks it. If you can't find the contest link on the YouTube page, go to our website, illegalcurve.com. Click on any article on that website. You'll more than likely be able to find the code, the link to the Illegal Curve merchandise contest there. The code word is shutout. We have a winner, Dave M. The winner of the most recent merchandise contest, Ed Harms.
Ed causes no harms.
Is that like what it says in the behind the scenes sort of thing, or that's just you ad-libbing?
Ed probably causing us no harm. So I mean, we want to make sure that Ed's a bit of a pacifist. He's happy. He won the contest. Why
is look, Ed Drew, Harms after related the, to Ed Helms?
Drew, after the big fight in the stands today, we want Ed Harms to be like not. We don't want anyone that causing
stuff,
harm.
That stuff bothers me. When those the two drunk people, the man and the woman.
I was going to say, Drew, I guarantee you alcohol was involved.
Well, Ezzy, you can find the video if you want it. That stuff bothers me. Just these two drunks. Oh, yeah,
you don't want to see that. No.
Wearing,
nobody wants to see that.
They were Avalanche fans, so I'm going to, not the all Avalanche fans are drunks or anything, but these people, like, it just bothers me because the person who got injured, they were seriously bleeding. You could see the blood. You could see them toss.
Happened in the first period too. Except that was a puck. He hit a guy in the head, and then when he came back, everyone cheered.
Well, that's good. I mean, that that happens, and you don't want to see that either. But this just bothers me. When stuff like this happens, when you're that, there's no suitable punishment that can be doled out to the people who caused this person this injury.
There actually is. It'll be.
I know it is, by but, a judge. Well, I know, but it's not suitable enough. Whatever they're going to get is not going to be suitable enough in my books.
Whatever.
I mean, you're.
I mean, they, from my perspective. I know. I understand. I mean, like, yeah, I understand. But I mean, like, the reality is, like, alcohol was involved, and I'm not justifying bad behavior with alcohol. But I'm just saying, like, you know, people do stupid things, and it was a dumb thing, and I'm sure they're going to get banned from the arena, and there'll be consequences. So move on.
Well, it's also just unfortunate because the Jets were winning the game. You know, the atmosphere, Dave was there, so he can speak to it more than I can.
Yeah.
But you could hear on the TV broadcast. I mean, the crowd was having fun, and, you know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't like to see that in any sport in the crowd, right? Like, it's just not because there's kids there and stuff like that. Right. That's so exactly. Hopefully, you know, those people, you know, learn from it, or maybe they don't, I have no idea. But yeah, I mean, you never like to see that stuff. I mean, it's just not, it's not good.
And just to quickly segue from what Ez just said, away from the fighting, is who cares? Like, the truth was, the atmosphere was fun for a Tuesday night. It was great. The crowd was amped up. And there was a lot. And look.
And by the way, great job by True North and the Jets organization on Cancer Night. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's hard not to. I mean, you know, everyone, as they say, you know someone who's been affected by cancer. But, you know, seeing those kids, I mean, it's just inspirational, right? So just wanted to get that in there, Dave, that, you know, again, and I think it was around over $100,000 that was donated to cancer care. So, you know, you love to see that before the
game. And as you actually stole the thought out of my head, because that's exactly what I was going to pivot towards, was just that, you know, it's the most important game of the year, and it's also the hardest game of the year. And, like, you can't sit and, like, I'm in the press box and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to be an observer. And honestly, like, these kids suffering with cancer, and I'm just like, ugh. Like, it is so tough to watch, and it's so tough to, and it's even a little bit. Like, I mean, not that cancer is personalized to everyone, unfortunately, because everyone's knows someone who's dealt with it. But, like, in this instance, you know, Ryan White is there with his son, Gordy, and, like, and thank the God.
Winkler Flyers.
And, you know, and thank God the kid has gotten better, because, you know, it didn't look good. And, you know, he's been on some treatments, and he's improving, which, you know, we hope that he just continues to improve, because, you know, his dad's a funny guy. He played, you know, over 300 games in the NHL, two seasons here with the Manitoba Moose, tough as nails. And I said, as tough as his dad is, his son is showing how much tougher he is as you know, a warrior. And it's hard, because, like, I remember, like, Colby Spence, again, I've referenced Colby three times in the show. He'll probably
Colby Perfetti, Dave.
Perfetti Spence. Yeah. He actually has a picture of Ryan and I think it was Gordy when he was little on the glass playing for the Moose. And it's a great picture. I remember sending it to the Moose saying, you know,
that's a picture we should tweet out.
No, I mean, it's just, but I sent it to them saying, hey, you might want this, because it's a really nice kind of captures the father son moment. Right. And to, you know, hear what he was dealing with, as, you know, a young child, and now to hear that he's doing much better is just a remarkable thing. So, you know, it is a, you know, like I said, if you can't watch that and not have your heart break, and forget about hockey for a second, because it's, you know, and even the anthem singer was a lady who had suffered cancer. I don't know if they mentioned that on the broadcast, but she had her two kids out there with her, and, you know, she seemed a little nervous. She did the American anthem a little bit, accelerated. She did a great job, and she was, like, you know, having a good time. And so it was just such an important night to kind of shed a light on the people who are dealing with this on a nightly basis. And you know, there's so many, and again, I just don't want to spend too much time, but, like, it was just awesome to see all the kids, like, holding up, like, I beat leukemia, or I dealt with this, and now I'm better. And, like, again, like, you know, it's heartbreaking to think that these kids have to deal with it. Not just kids, obviously everyone who has to deal with it, but it's even harder to see kids who have to deal with this reality, because they shouldn't have to deal with this. And we saw Rick Bowness talk about it in his pregame, and he got broken up talking about, you know, that someone he's dealing with back home, a family friend's young child who's dealing with this. So I think it hits home obviously harder with young kids, guys, but you know, again, this was, like, story. And my last story quickly will be Blake Wheeler giving a puck to a young cancer survivor, making a point of doing that in the warm-up. And, you know, you see the elation on the faces of kids in general when they get a puck. And so I thought that was really awesome as well. So a number of touching moments throughout the course of the game, you know, with respect to Hockey Fights Cancer.
Yeah.
Well said, Dave.
Yeah. Well said. Redefining the word heroism is what those kids are doing, and all kids who are fighting against cancer. We appreciate them and support them as much as we possibly can. That's a great way to wrap up this version of the Illegal Curve post game show. The Jets win 5-0 tonight over Colorado. We want to say a big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post game show, the Saturday show, and the website a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, Grid Park, and The Keg support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. If you have a business, if you know of a business, if you want us to contact a business that you think should be a sponsor of this show, let us know. Slide into any of our email inboxes, slide into any of our DMs, and we'll take care of that for you. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us feedback there and everywhere. Leave it on the YouTube videos, leave it on the Apple iTunes page for Illegal Curve. Leave it on our website, illegalcurve.com. We always love hearing your feedback and your comments. We'll be next in action, of course, on Friday night. Another Illegal Curve post-game show following the Jets and the Columbus Blue Jackets back here on this fine YouTube channel. And again, Saturday morning with the Illegal Curve hockey show.
Whoa, Drew, no shout-out for me doing color on Thursday?
I didn't know. How would I know? You never told me.
I just found out today.
Dave's doing color for the Moose game on Thursday, folks. Tune in.
11 o'clock a.m.
Oh my gosh. There you go. Dave M going to be your favorite day. The rowdy kids are going to be there.
Yeah. First ever screaming,
fight, 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 bloodthirsty animals that they are. And Dave M will be rooting, cheering them along.
The question is there going to be a fight on the ice or in the stands?
Well, hopefully it's just in the, on the ice and not in the stands.
But, I'll be listening, yes. Dave, while I work.
There you go.
Thanks, Big Daddy.
I will do the same thing as well there, Dave. I'll support you virtually while we spend another day in the salt mines that Ezzy and I have to. We're not independently wealthy like Dave M is, despite what the Grid Park ad might have to say.
On the railroad.
There you go. That's it for us.
The porn bots are here. Cool.
Yeah, the time to go. The porn bots are here. That's it for us.
A little late, folks.
We'll see you on Friday night, everybody.
Send them my way. Send me a
until
couple.
Friday night, right around 9:45 p.m., give or take.
Hey, there's Bart. Ezzy, Bart won the greatest.
There you go.
The hardest hitting comment.
Bart, so. Bart, send me an email if you don't know. If you don't know, now you know. You won the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you directly.
Dave M is in the top right. Ezra Ginsburg's in the bottom middle until Friday at around 9:45 p.m. Drew Mandel says, thank you very much for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. We'll see you then. Until then, we say good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.